All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Can you see it? Did you notice?
Check, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
A moment's notice. Adams leaves the puck.
To the line, Hughes scores!
In this existence, take you to.
You're listening to Canucks Conversation.
Quinn Hughes, beat reporter here. Like, I don't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted him in and down.
Wow. We should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What I'll have. Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores!
Don't waste all the good stuff on the off air. Let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation, brought to you by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. You can use promo code HOCKEYSEASON, capital H, capital S, all one word, at ZephyrEpic.com, ZePHYR Epic, on all platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Twitch. Check them all out. On Twitch, they have the weekly case breaks. Those are a lot of fun. You should go check it out, ZephyrEpic.com. We are also delivered to you by the great folks at DoorDash. Use promo code CONVODD, capital C, capital D's. Once again, all one word, CONVODD, capital C's, capital D's. That will get you 25% off and free delivery on your first order through the DoorDash app. It's a lot of fun. What wasn't a lot of fun, my name is David Quadrelli. I'm joined, as always, by the man who built the place, wearing a very fresh, might I add, PP1 podcast white hat, looking very nice with the little, it's the trucker hat. It's very nice.
Shout out to the boys. Good looking hat. They got good looking stickers. Helped me get the new stickers, actually. But first, Zephyr Epic from two cities across Canada. What's two places they'll give you free shipping from?
Tofino to Toronto.
Tofino to Toronto. Very similar sounding name.
Yeah.
Actually.
That alliteration.
I'll go from Moose Jaw to Mississauga.
Oh, that's pretty good. I like that.
That's a pretty good one.
That is pretty good. Good, his name is Chris Faber. I don't think I mentioned that, but my name is April Jolie, joined as always by the man who built the place, Chris Faber, wearing a very fresh PP1 podcast hat. We are fresh off of watching the same thing that a lot of you perhaps just spent your Tuesday evening, Tuesday afternoon. Some of you left work early to watch this game.
Take the money. Stay at work.
Stay at work.
First, before we get into this whole thing, I got some things to get off my chest here off the top. Right off the top, I don't know how I'm going to be performing in this episode. I've been awake since 4 a.m. this morning for doing ridiculous news reads at BCIT. I'm on the BCIT radio station from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m.
And you came to my house.
I have to wake up at 4, shower, leave my house at about 4:45. And then I get to your house and I just chilled there all day. We went out for lunch for the second time in 2 days.
Yeah.
You and I went out for a meal.
No free ads.
I'm just saying, I'm going to say it.
They're big enough. Sure.
Burger King hit the spot today, man.
I would agree for the first half of my burger. And you know what you can order Burger King on is DoorDash. Combo
D. There we go.
There you go.
From Mississauga to Moose Jaw.
Now it makes sense.
Yeah. I got the two Whopper. I don't know what you got. You got some sort of King Bacon King.
The Bacon King, I think it was called.
Man, Burger King, they got some big ass burgers.
Oh, it was huge.
They were massive.
I was struggling in the passenger seat there. I was like sweating a little bit.
And okay, so that's the first thing I want to bring up. Second thing I want to bring up, you saw me. I was dying out there by the end of the game. I am so tired. I'm running on like 2.5, maybe 3 hours. Last night I'm up reading Russian articles until about 1 a.m. and then I'm up at 4 to get to BCIT. So I am not in a great state of mind right now. But the second thing I got to ask, how long is that espresso? How long is that espresso shot going to last? How long is that going to last for me here? Because I'm feeling okay right now.
You're going to feel fine.
My legs are kicking a little bit.
You might struggle to sleep a little bit.
No chance.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you'll be fine. Most people, the caffeine is going to last about like 8 to 10 hours, I think.
You know what else, too? So this morning, I drink an energy drink when I get to work. Mm-hmm. And then I hop on and the girl who's doing on air with me, because she's going, and we're chatting a little back and forth sometimes on the air, where we were talking about Nike versus Adidas. And I mentioned like, oh, you know, I've had an energy drink. I'm feeling good. And she's great. I think out of all the people in my program, I think she's going
to
be one of the best.
Like
actually in radio, yeah, Sylvia. I think she's going to
Sylvia. Yeah, I remember Sylvia.
She's already working.
Give him a little combo bump.
No, I am. I think she's going to do really well in radio. She's like, I'm working with her. I'm doing news. She's on air, and yeah, she's doing great. She's one of the better voices I hear at BCIT. But anyways, so I'm going to bash her now. So we're going back and forth today. And I mentioned I tried an energy drink, and she's like, oh, yeah, I've had one, too. I had a Gatorade. And I said,
whoa.
In my head, like, I wasn't going to get her on air for that take. Like, if you would have said that, I would have got you.
Oh, man.
But she's like, yeah, I've already finished my Gatorade. I'm feeling good. And I was like, Gatorades are an energy drink.
I would never hear the end of that.
No, I know. I would ruin you if you said that.
That would be brought up for weeks on the radio show. The Canucks warm up with Faber and Quads.
Let's talk about that because it's the first episode since. Sure. I'd rather talk about that than this game. We'll get to this freaking game.
We will.
You know what? That's what's going to keep me awake here because I'm pissed off about it. We'll get into it in a minute here. But radio show, I tell you, man, I had a feeling we were going to have a good show. Like, I had a feeling we were going to have a good debut. I didn't think it was going to be like that. Like, I think it was so much fun to see the text line just.
Yeah.
I think I said it on air a few times. I've worked as a producer on a lot of shows, and I've never seen the text box that busy. Everybody showing up, maybe heard from this podcast and came over and listened on the radio. I've never seen the text box.
That was really cool.
That crazy. Calls, every time we asked for calls, we had multiple on the phone lines. Like, it was a blast. And for some reason, I always know, like, sometimes when I listen back to this show, I'm like, wow, I say you know a lot, or I say like a lot. And then I listen back on the radio, and I don't know, something about the bright lights in the studio, I didn't say you know or like once.
You, I said absolutely.
You say absolutely a lot on the podcast. The bright lights got to you with that. You were saying absolutely a lot, but it was fun, man. It was like, I had a blast doing that. We had JMO in studio. I hope we're going to get Justin for a lot of him producing moving forward. That's something that we kind of talked about in our post show meeting with the boss man.
Who's super nice, by the way.
Who I ripped on the show on the first episode.
Cam Barra. Shout out to Cam.
And after I almost, you know, I went at Stan Smeal a little bit on the radio,
which
too.
Was which is weird. And like, then, you're going at an old man.
Well, yeah, well, then you see, then, you know what happens? I go at him on Saturday. What do you see pop up on Monday? A video of him throwing around a 6'4" guy.
That's true. I sent that to you.
I think that's his burner. He heard me on the radio saying that I don't.
Sam put in a request to that vintage hockey Twitter account that was like, post this video so this young whippersnapper gets it.
Yeah, he's like, you want to see me throw around 6'4"? You don't think I can still do that? And now. I got the Canucks Autism Network luncheon on Friday.
Oh,
wouldn't be surprised to see Stan Smeal there, to be honest. They got a lot of Canucks alumni there. That'll be an awkward conversation.
Well, I mean, he's like a nice guy, so I don't know.
Is he?
Yeah, he is.
Taking a 24-year-old kid at the time. And
that was Cam's fault.
We determined this. Yeah,
we shouldn't
did.
Be mad at Stan Smeal.
Took quite a few shots
at
people.
It's really weird. You know, have you seen the show Impractical Jokers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you kidding me? It's all over Facebook every day.
So there's a punishment in that show where two of the guys had to go open up a concert for Imagine Dragons, okay? And Imagine Dragons was telling them through a mic what they had to say their song titles were, and then they had to make up the songs on the spot. They don't know how to play instruments. They don't know anything. One of the song titles... The lead singer of Imagine Dragons goes into the mic and goes, "Your next song is called Shut Your Face, Grandma." And they had to improvise with that. That's how your hate with Stan Smeal feels. It's weird. Like, nobody hates Stan Smeal except for you.
Well, I don't hate. Yeah, and we just, yeah, you know, we determined. I even right off the bat, even after that moment, I didn't hate Stan Smeal. That's I just had distaste in my mouth.
That's still weird. You shouldn't.
I know. And then the video goes up, I tell you. But yeah, we've determined it. You know, in the end, I'm mad at. I took shots at a lot of people on the radio show on accident.
Yeah, wow.
Took shots at Bick, took shots at Shat, at Sat. Listen, man, I got no. Gosh. Hey, I'm going to screw up my own last name today for sure on the show. I've had no sleep today. Don't give me that bad one. One little slip up, or listen, I'm going to screw up a bunch on the show. I'm going to be like freaking Dollywall on the show today. I'm just loopy for the whole thing.
Oh, man. That was a good one.
At least I got my energy drink here. I got a
blue
Gatorade.
Do we have to bleep that? I don't think so.
No,
right?
That's...
If you said that on air, would Justin be hitting the dump button?
Honestly, I combined Sat's first name and last name.
Yeah, that's what happened.
That's what I meant to do.
Mm,
I meant to do that.
Yeah, okay.
And Bick took a shot at him.
Yeah, you took a lot of shots at a lot of people, including me a few times.
Yeah.
But...
That's just what it's going
to
be like.
Yeah, it was fine. It was fun. I'm very disappointed that I have to miss this Saturday, but I'll be doing a hit.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
I hope that people like don't know. So like the way I'm going to open the show is that like when I get on the radio, and people who listen to this will obviously know on the radio, but there's a lot of people on the radio like that never heard of us, right? We saw that in the text box. So that was kind of like I was just expecting everyone who listens to this show to be the people listening. But what I'm definitely opening with is like, listen, Dave had quite a bit of a strange run at the end of the show last week. He came in and he did his reverse V7 940s. And then we went into a 30-minute talk with Kevin Woodley where half the listeners tuned out or fell asleep.
And he got fired.
So we kicked him off the show. Here's his replacement, who we won't spoil just yet, but his replacement will be a lot of fun.
Wow.
But yeah,
wow.
Missing, literally, we sign up for a radio show, huge launch, great debut, and you leave for the second week.
Man, well, I had these plans in advance, and I couldn't cancel them. You knew I couldn't cancel them.
And the radio show came together within like a week before we launched.
And the boss is fine with it. That's all that matters.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I feel bad about it, but don't make the listeners hate me. I don't like that everybody hates me.
I don't make the listeners hate
you. Yeah, well, if you say I left after the first week, next week when they listen, they're going to be like, oh, he's back. That sucks.
Okay. I'll be nice. I'll be nice while you're gone.
I'll be listening, and I'll be doing a hit. I'll make sure to come back at you.
Mm-hmm. We got a good guest list already.
Yeah, going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have good guests every week. It's going
to
be
a lot of our friends that we want to talk to on the radio.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a lot of fun. What wasn't a lot of fun was this Canucks game. Look at me A-chairing on the podcast. I could never do this on the radio, but anyway... The Canucks. Yeah,
back to the radio. As soon as we played the Jeopardy music, you were lost. That was hilarious.
Dude, yeah, I can't focus.
As soon as the music started, I'd say, got in JMO's ear and let him know, hey, play a little Jeopardy music. Let's get him out of here. This goalie talk. You were, as soon as the music hit,
like,
you lost it.
Yeah, I couldn't focus. It was like, when you started filming me that other week, you know, it was same thing. I can't focus, man. I gotta focus. Anyway, I gotta focus here. The Vancouver Canucks played an absolute, dare I say, stinker. Chris, would you call it a stinker? I would call that a stinker.
Man.
Well, they scored two goals. Like, is it a stinker if you score two goals?
That was a stinker that clogged the toilet. Yeah. That's what that was tonight. Well, that was brutal. Okay. You put up that kind of effort in back-to-back nights with 2 days off in between. Okay. It's not like you did a back-to-back. You did a back-to-back before, but you got 2 days off here. You came in and played a team like the Buffalo Sabres who, yeah, they're 2-0. They're undefeated. But you're a much better team than what the Buffalo Sabres put on the ice tonight, even without Quinn Hughes in the lineup, which I know we're going to get to at a certain point. But if you seriously want to consider this Vancouver Canucks team, a team that a lot of us expect to be able to not only make the playoffs, but make a decent push in the first round, maybe get to the second round, you'll get some experience for these guys. These type of efforts can't happen more than five times a year. When you go out and play a team that you're that much better than, you can't have an effort level like that more than five times. Like I said, it's unfair to talent on that team for them to play that type of effort and force maybe Thatcher Demko to potentially steal one for you and hope that that's what you're going to lean on. Like, that can't happen. The Canucks had to go out there and outplay them. Look at the lines that they were matching up against. You know, we always talk about how it's nice if JT Miller gets a bottom six matchup. That Buffalo team is full of bottom six lines from top to bottom.
Yep.
They don't have a top line in the NHL. The Canucks should have dominated them on Tuesday night, and they were dominated. Like, the Canucks had something like 4 5-on-5 scoring chances in each of the second and third periods. Those second and third periods, the Buffalo Sabres were all over them. They dominated possession, dominated shot totals. The Canucks were horrible. That was like, you know, I know it's super early in the year. That's the worst game they've played all season long. Easy. It's you can't do that consistently and expect to be in the playoffs.
No, absolutely not. And I use the word absolutely. But listen, if this is the result of what this team is going to look like, if they're missing Quinn Hughes, you remember at the start of the year, and it was a select minority. You know, I don't like to give them a huge voice, but the fans that were, when Hughes and Pettersson were holding out, the fans that were like, oh, the Canucks don't need them anyway. Look at how good OEL and Pullman look. Oh, Rathbone's right there. It's fine. Everything's going to be fine. If this is what this team looks like without Quinn Hughes, they're in trouble, man. Like, that is not acceptable. The performance that we saw tonight from the Vancouver Canucks.
And you know what? On top of that, like, I know that's the big story, right? Like, Quinn Hughes, obviously, that's a huge loss to the defense core. But imagine if Luke Shen's the guy playing every day. What happens if Kyle Burrows doesn't look good alongside Jack Rathbone, right?
Down, like, down the road, yeah.
You know, Burrows, I thought, has looked really good alongside Jack Rathbone on a third pairing. Luke Shen tonight,
no,
got put in a spin cycle a couple times, right? Yeah. I mean, he tries to stick up for, was it Highmore who took a dirty hit at one point? Yeah. And Shen tries to step up for him. No fight happens there. That's the thing that Shen's going to bring to your lineup, but there's a reason why he's the seventh defenseman on good teams, right? There's a reason why he plays 20 to 30 games on a team like the Tampa Bay Lightning. There are a lot of weaknesses, obviously. There was a lot. I mean, from top to bottom, though, like, honestly, the effort level from the forward groups, putting passes together, like, it felt like the whole game there was almost pressure. Throughout the whole game, it felt like when the top line was out there, the Pettersson, Höglander, and Besser line, somebody's got to shoot the damn puck, man. Like, they're trying so much to get these pretty passing plays together. And I think that's the worry that I have when it's not JT Miller. And when it's Höglander on that line, like, I know that that could work. Because Höglander, I like the way that he plays. I think he can fit well with Pettersson and Besser. But the worry and what you saw exactly tonight on Tuesday was just one of those situations where if you're in Rogers Arena, the fans, which will be at 100% for the home opener, by the way, maybe we'll touch on that a little bit later, they're going to be screaming shoot on that line. There were so many times where it felt like a scoring chance was there, and they tried to make an extra pass to make it the perfect play. And sometimes when you're in a game against a team like the Buffalo Sabres, and you're in a tight one, like, at the time, a lot of the chances came when it was a tie game, or they were even up by one. Like, shoot the puck on net at that point. You know, to try the goaltender. He's a 40-year-old goaltender back there. And Craig Anderson, he's not going to stand on his head the whole game. Fire some shots when you get some open areas. And the Canucks had a lot of good shot opportunities, but not a lot of shots came from those opportunities. And it's a thing that this team has done a lot of in the past. That's why I think it's so easy here, because this is just like, this is that big scar being opened once again when you see a team just struggle to get scoring chances or almost scoring chances to become goals. Because if you're not going to generate scoring chances when they're presented in front of you, how the hell are you going to score goals?
I think it's important to mention Kyle Burrows out of the lineup, not an injury. Yep. Coach's decision, we were told by head coach Travis Green after the game. Head scratcher, man. Head scratcher for sure. And I think this isn't just the benefit of hindsight. I think there were a lot of people saying, you know, Burrows was one of those guys that if you're going to put somebody in and take somebody out, Burrows probably shouldn't have been the guy to come out. Like, with what was the issue with him and Rathbone? I didn't see many.
We talked about it on the last show. Burrows hasn't played himself out of an NHL job. Yeah. So why take him out of an NHL job?
I think he's right back there. Like, right back on Thursday.
He has to be. And it sounded like Hughes isn't long term.
No, Hughes skated at the optional skate today. So that's important to note as well. Like, and Hughes isn't going to be out long term as far as we know, folks. Like, he should be back Thursday.
Oh, well, that's what Travis said. Like, it was, you know, he thought he was going to be in tonight, I think he said in the post game, right? Yeah. Brock Besser obviously got back in the lineup. You know what? Like, for how bad the Canucks played, Brock Besser, I liked seeing him back in the lineup and fighting on the boards, gaining puck possessions and fitting in back with that line. It's just, to me, they couldn't get the final piece of the puzzle to, like, just get a shot off. Like, it's not the biggest thing to demand just getting a shot off. And that line, they looked strong. Like, they looked strong with puck possession. But if you look at, like, that line's control of, like, attempted shots, it shouldn't be that low. Like, we don't readily have available the numbers of actual possession. A lot of the numbers that we drive off of possession come from shot attempts, right? Corsi is a number that sort of gives you an indication of possession. I would say it would be the opposite on Tuesday night. I think that line had a lot of possession, but not a lot of shot attempts. They were outplayed. They were outshot on that line as a trio. And it didn't feel like it was that way. It felt like they had the puck more than not on the ice tonight.
Yeah. Absolutely. Man, gotta stop saying that. I'm gonna try and get out of the habit of that. But there is something.
Well, we all have our clutches, you know, that's a thing.
Crutches.
Clutches?
What are crutch.
Like, oh, crutch.
Yeah, thing you lean on, you know?
Damn, man.
Clutches.
You know what my crutch is?
Your clutch?
My crutch is just screwing up words all the time.
That's not a crutch. Don't worry. You're good. I did want to bring this up from Satyar Shah, our colleague now. Colleague Satyar Shah.
And you know what? Something else cool for the radio show, which you won't get to experience this weekend because you're off building a Ferris wheel or something. We're going to do a little crossover because, you know what? Like,
wow, that's going to be awesome.
You know what sucks? This isn't a good sentence to say. You know what sucks at 650? They've never done like crossovers. They don't do crossovers between that was one of my favorite things about 1040.
Man, well, Cam's in charge now.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think float Cam's,
that to him.
Cam's
I think
a Cam, good spot.
I think Cam's doing a great job. And I'm not just saying that because he gave us a show.
No, but that, you know, was that not one of your favorite things at 1040?
Absolutely.
Like the crossovers, man, where the shows are just ripping into each other?
Exactly. Halford and Sakaris, or not Halford and Sakaris, Bruff and Sakaris on the same show was like one of my favorite episodes ever.
No, I'm not even crossover week. I just mean like shows crossing over.
Oh, yeah. That.
Like everybody just like whoever crossed over into Moj and Donnie's show, just ripping into Moj, and then Moj would finish his show and the next show would rip on him as they crossed over again.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's good times.
We'll see. Do you think we can rip Bick and Sat? Randeep's going to be in there sometimes too.
I guess. I don't know. I'll try. Rip on Paisano Dan.
No.
No, I would never.
No, you can't get the Italian.
But I did want to bring this up from Satyar Shah. How much of the Canucks missed Hughes over the first three games of the season? Hughes led all players in timed puck possession for both teams in each game. Canucks had the puck an average of 55.4% of the time over those three games. Tonight, the Canucks have only had 46% of puck possession time. Folks, Quinn Hughes makes a difference. Quinn Hughes is a difference maker, and I don't think this is news to anybody, but it does need to be mentioned that not only is he a difference maker, but he is, dare I say it, this team's crutch. Or their clutch.
He's clutch and crutch for him.
He is. He is clutch and he's their crutch.
So technically, I'm right.
Technically, you are right. We will cut to break. We on the other side, we'll talk about Thatcher Demko. We've got our poll question. Travis Hamonic. News about Travis Hamonic came down today and we haven't even touched on it yet.
Was it news?
Yeah, it was news.
I'm doing news updates at Evolution 107.9. That's not news to me, what they dropped today.
Yeah. Fair enough. We'll
get into it on the other side anyways.
Yeah, we will get into it on the other side. And of course, Faber's much anticipated prospects report. Keep it locked, keep it loaded. You're listening to the Canucks Conversation.
Winter is quickly approaching, but wait. That means your favorite seasonal brew is back to cheer you up. The Tukes of Hazard is now available across British Columbia and Alberta in their government and private liquor stores. This extra-strong brew has a whopping 9.2% alcohol, big hop punch, even bigger body and aroma, and just a touch of white haze. The Parallel 49 fan favorite is smoother than a freshly cleaned ice rink.
Muddlers. Muddlers Pink Lemonade. We are so excited to tell you guys about Muddlers Pink Lemonade, my drink of choice. You guys have all seen it by now. Faber and I went out drinking. That was my drink of choice first night.
I think that the catchphrase for this ad has to be, it's the only alcohol that Quads likes.
Absolutely. It's so good. It's absolutely the best pink lemonade on the market by far. A lot of these other drinks are just a little too sweet for me. Like, I don't really like that. And this is like a nice mix because I also don't like when it tastes too much like alcohol. But this is like the perfect balance. There's a reason that it was the drink I got when we went to the Parallel Street Kitchen as well.
It, absolutely, man. It is the sweet spot for Quads in the alcoholic beverage realm. You can find it, like you said, at Parallel 49 Street Kitchen and in a ton of liquor stores. All the BC liquor stores have it. It's the bright pink cans, Muddler's Pink Lemonade. Go out and try it today.
And a huge thank you to all of our sponsors here at the Canucks Conversation Podcast. It is time for the Fuel the Fan Blue Orca Sports Memorabilia poll question. Go check out at Fuel the Fan on Twitter, Blue Orca Sports Memorabilia, for all of your Vancouver Canucks and other sports memorabilia needs. Lots of good stuff over there. Lots of signed photos. Go check them out at Fuel the Fan on Twitter. Our poll question today, who do you want to see playing left wing with Pettersson and Besser? Nils Höglander, JT Miller, Vasily Podkolzin, or as always, I'm angry. Chris, dominating the votes, 48% say JT Miller, 30% for Nils Höglander, 8% for Vasily Podkolzin, and unsurprisingly, 14% for I'm angry.
That's low. Tell me how much for Höglander again.
Got more than Podkolzin. Usually I'm angry is the one that gets the fewest votes. Usually.
No, there's always one that does worse than I'm angry. I'm angry is always third. Sometimes second.
A lot of angry people.
Sometimes we do a really bad poll where like 85%
everybody's just goes angry to one.
No, we've never had 80. I don't think the most I've seen is like 34%.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty angry. What did Höglander get there?
30%.
And Miller's at
48.
A couple options.
And what are you saying?
I'm saying I just noticed Harm's chair is not in the studio.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's going to be here on Friday.
Yeah. We'll get him his chair. It'll okay be good.
I'm just saying
it's in the shop. Did for
you,
repairs.
You put the chair in the shop?
Yeah. It's in for repairs.
It was squeaking too
much.
It was
a little squeaky actually.
Yeah.
Actually
Harm moves around a lot.
Yeah. Harm does move around a lot. Okay. Poll question, man.
Right.
Who's playing with Pettersson and Besser?
I'm tired. I'm angry and tired. It's got to probably be Miller again, right? But you know what? Off of this poll question creates another problem for me that I want to get into. Because if you go with Miller, you're taking away the JT Miller at center spot. So who fills that spot? It's a guy who felt like a ghost tonight. And in a few games this year has just been non-existent. Like, where's Jason Dickinson and this defensive prowess we heard of? Where's that even showing up? I know that he's not going to be this guy who's going to create a lot of offense, right? But did you notice him once? He played, I think, he was the low-minute guy tonight on the whole team. Like, you know, Vasily Podkolzin gets benched in the third period the other night. That's a big deal. But Jason Dickinson plays 6 minutes. 6 minutes of ice time. The guy that they just locked in long-term to be the 3C. That guy's playing 6 minutes. Pretty much non-existent in the third period. And obviously, you're trying to create some offense. You're trying to get things going. Maybe he's not the best guy for that in the third period. But still, where's Dickinson? Where's Dickinson been all season long? Has he had plays that have impressed you?
Not offensive ones. I think he's
defensive
been
even?
I think he's been fine defensively. I mean, if you're not noticing him, that's good. But he's not being trusted.
If you're not noticing Lameco, that's good.
Lamico.
If you're not noticing Lamico, that's good. But Jason Dickinson, you should notice a little bit, no?
No, I agree with you. And here's the thing.
Hey, you know what I just said? That's a little Italian thing I've picked up.
No?
You guys say no. Like, when you say something, then you're like, shouldn't you have seen Jason Dickinson tonight? No? That's, yeah. Something, that's Italian, right? It has to be.
I do that a lot.
You do it a lot.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just an Italian thing. But no, like, here's what I saw is the Canucks this season are able to use Pettersson in a matchup role, and they haven't shied away from that. Like, that's who's going up against these top lines. It's not Jason Dickinson, their shutdown center, right? Like, he's being used in a secondary offense role. Like, he should be able to win the matchups that he's being deployed in, but he's coming out with his head above water, I guess. He's not getting scored on a ton, but he's also not like, he just hasn't been great. He hasn't been good enough to, like, yeah, like, I get what you're saying in terms of you want Miller at center because, you know, then you don't have to have Dickinson out as much and you have three lines that you could deploy with Horvat. Also, I thought Horvat looked pretty bad tonight.
Yeah, but I think that's the first game Horvat hasn't looked good. I think Horvat's
and
at least
scored.
Yeah, he did score. That's right.
Hard to almost remember that.
Well, you know, we just looked at this 5-2 game. Canucks were up 2-1.
Yeah.
They let up four straight goals to the Buffalo freaking Sabres. The Jack Eichel-less, rudderless, bottom of the league, Buffalo Sabres.
You watch what you say about Craig Anderson.
Well, you know what? I was about to get into Craig Anderson. How's that guy shutting the door on the Vancouver Canucks?
Because he's excellent. He's a great goaltender.
Are you kidding me?
Hit the button. I'm just kidding. I'm not going on a rant about Craig Anderson, and I have nothing to say about goaltenders tonight. Actually, we can't talk about Thatcher Demko, but I think this is going to be an open conversation. It's not about technique, so I'm not going to hit the button.
I got some goalie stuff. You can hit the button.
You want me to hit the button?
Yeah, I got a couple goalie. I got some AHL goalie stuff to talk about.
Oh yeah, he shouldn't have done that public knowledge. That's a big no-no. I don't know. You know, I can't really give the time and date, or else I feel like Nona's shoe will be flying across North America, right, and hit me in the head.
I think we spent half an hour talking about a backup goaltender.
All right, get out of here, Woodley.
All right. Favor's going to be.
Favor's going to be very pissed. So, you know, I don't like to say bad things about goaltenders.
All right. Quads, after four games, who leads the team? Who leads the Vancouver Canucks in Corsi? Take a shot at here. Take a random shot.
Did you just tell me to hit the goalie button and then ask me about Corsi?
Just take a shot. I got the numbers up here.
Okay, who leads them in Corsi?
After four games. He's over 60%.
Okay. Is he a forward or defenseman?
He's one of those two.
Okay. Is it Jack Rathbone?
No. Okay. Jack Rathbone is 11th.
Okay. Nils Höglander. Gotta be up.
Close, top three. He's third. I'll give you one more guess. Quick one.
Not Jason.
Off the
Miller.
Map. Go off the map.
Off the map. Is it Justin Dowling?
No, it's not Justin Dowling. It's Alex Chason. Let's talk about him after this goalie talk. But
okay.
Couple of appearances for the AHL goaltenders that I watch. Mikey DiPietro and Artur Silas each getting a game. Currently, they're playing their third game of the season. Mikey got the start there 2-0 for the Ontario Reign. Ontario, California Reign.
That's Wait, what? Really?
Yeah. Ontario in California.
No.
Yes.
No.
It like was the in... minor league team of the Los Angeles Kings.
Isn't that actually in Ontario?
No. I feel like I've told you this before.
You're totally messing with me. First of all, there's an Ontario, California?
Yes. There's also a Weed, California.
Okay, but...
A town called Weed.
That's pretty cool, but let's go back to...
What do you think?
Ontario, California?
Ontario, California is where the minor league team of
all
the
time?
LA Kings.
Why'd the game start at 4 then? I thought that was because they were in Ontario. That game, it started early.
Sunday started at 5. It's a Sunday game.
Yeah, so I thought it was in Ontario.
No.
Wow, so they weren't playing in Canada.
No, they're playing right now in Ontario, California.
I guess that makes sense since the Pacific
Klimovich buzzing out the ocean. He's sending out Instagram stories. A couple goals for him. We'll touch on him in the prospects report.
But
let's goalies here. We almost just skipped over the goalies. Anyways, yeah. That would be fine with me, actually. Mikey and Artur. Artur's had a really good game against on Sunday night there. I thought he played a really good game, ended up getting the win in the shootout. Made all four saves in the shootout, looked good in overtime, made some really big saves like throughout the game. And Mikey was fine in his showing on the first night, first game of the season for them. But he made some really big saves in the first period. And then I felt bad for Mikey because the defense wasn't really good. I mean, that Abbotsford team, they got some work to do before they get dialed in here. And like I said, losing 2-0 tonight. But you have something to say about Demko, I think, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not really a knock on Demko, but the sample size is small. But there are goaltenders who have trends in the way they prepare for a season and just the way they start a season. And again, you know, I was the one that told everybody that Demko looked fantastic before training camp and that they shouldn't be too worried about any concerns they had during training camp in the preseason. They shouldn't be concerned. Demko's been okay. He's been good. Like, don't get me wrong. Demko has not been anywhere near the problem. But what we have learned about this team is that they need their goaltender to be great. Not just good, great. And last season, Thatcher Demko was good, but they weren't getting the results. A lot of people chalked that up to he wasn't sure if he was the starter, had to kind of deal with Braden Holtby, alternating starts with him. Wasn't a great situation to be in if you're Thatcher Demko, but right now, this team really needs Thatcher Demko. And look, I'm a big fan of Thatcher Demko. I don't think I need to say this for the 10th time or however many times it's been in the last 2 days or whatever. Thatcher Demko is not the problem with this team, but he has an opportunity to be the solution. He is often the solution for this team, and he needs to be the solution for this team. Like, he is going to be the reason that this team makes the playoffs. No one else. Nobody else. Like, Elias Pettersson is great. He's super important to this team. Quinn Hughes, absolutely super important to this team. But Thatcher Demko needs to be great for this team to make the playoffs.
There's only probably, if that, a handful of teams that rely on their goaltender more than the Canucks do Thatcher Demko. Yeah. Like, I think of Anaheim, John Gibson, like that. Yeah. That's definitely, I think that's number one in the league of a team that just relies on their goaltender. Hellebuck's another good example.
Winnipeg's a little deeper now, though.
Right. In past years, though. I mean, it's only early into the season. We haven't seen a lot. But yeah, I think that, you know, Demko's probably top three, top five for how much they rely on him from, you see the defense in front of him. I mean, yeah, he hasn't stolen a game just yet this year, but God, he's kept them in a few, though.
Did steal a game. He stole their first win.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was saying he kept them in that one for the fight.
I would say he stole that one.
All right, fair enough. You're the goalie guy. Hey, who's got the worst Corsi on the Canucks? So just minimum.
Moving away from goalies.
Yeah, so Brad Hunt's got the worst. He had a bad game. But second, who do you think's the next up worst Corsi? You wouldn't guess him.
I won't guess him?
No.
Okay, so it's not like Lamico?
He's down there, but he's not the worst.
Okay, who is it?
A little bit surprised.
JT Miller?
And maybe some people are going to like to hear this because I think some people have been dumping on him a little bit. Vasily Podkolzin. That surprises me a little bit because I think the things that Podkolzin is doing well is actually moving the puck out of his own zone and keeping pucks in the blue line. So that surprised me a little bit. Corsi ain't everything, man.
Corsi ain't everything, man.
But Luke Shen's got really bad Corsi too. Anyways, bad game for them. Chiasson, though. Chiasson out of the lineup for the first time this year in this game. Does he get back in? I think, you know what, from what we've seen from Travis Green in the past after a game like this, I would expect a massive change to the lineup. After a 5-2 loss to the Buffalo Sabres, I would expect to see a huge shakeup. And we can even touch on this a little bit here as well. Does the power play get shooken up too?
I think so.
I think it has to.
I think you're looking at Chiasson not only coming back in the lineup, but you're looking at Chiasson going on that first unit, and I think it's Besser that comes off of it. I really do. I think it's Besser.
You know, I was thinking that Chiasson isn't the guy that goes up there. I'm wondering if it's a Höglander or a Garland going up to the first unit.
I don't think they liked what the power play looked like tonight.
And you know what? The power play scored some goals, right? I think 3 power play goals on the season, but they've just looked really bad.
Static.
They've
static.
Not even being able to gain the zone. I think we saw in the game tonight, the first unit. Did the first unit get set up more than once or twice in the whole game?
Yeah. Honestly, I can't really remember.
I don't think so. I think the second unit got set up more.
Yeah. That checks out.
That's why I think that, you know, like you mentioned, static. That's what the power play looks like. I think you get a Nils Höglander or a Connor Garland in there. Those are two guys that like to move around, man.
Dynamic, yeah.
You know, even just one of them to be inserted in there. And I wonder who the guy that comes out is. It could be Besser because they've been running with everyone else. I think it's
Besser on the second unit because look how good that second unit looked. If you had Besser there, that's a dangerous, dangerous second unit. Like,
I'm thinking
Brad Hunt was on the second unit tonight, man.
Yeah, and I'm thinking of the top three that you're going to have there, like the guys on the top of the umbrella. Besser, Ekman-Larsson, Rathbone.
That's dangerous.
That's a good-looking second unit. That's why I can see a Garland or a Höglander going up and maybe a Chiasson stepping in on that unit. Cause you know what? You got three guys that you can get shots from at the top of your umbrella there with Besser, OEL and Rathbone. Why not throw a big guy like Chiasson in front of the
Fair
net?
Enough. Yep.
And then whichever one of Garland or Höglander is not there, that's, you know, one of them's going to get moved up to the first unit. Then you keep the other one there. Two really solid units at that point. And maybe you can get some movement there at that point. So I wouldn't be shocked to see that. So I'm expecting Chaisson right back in the lineup. I'm expecting Hughes right back in the lineup. I'm expecting Burrows right back in the lineup. Is there any other one that you might want to see? Like, is there any other player option that might come into the lineup here?
No, I think the bigger question is, does the lotto line start right away? Because look, first period of that game, Canucks had a few good chances. Right up until like the end or the middle of the third period when the lotto line got put back together, and it may have been earlier than that, but as soon as the lotto line was reunited, there was a heavy zone time for the Canucks. Like, the Canucks had an offensive opportunity in the zone where they possessed the puck, and that's what this line does so well, and they need to get going together. They haven't had a preseason. They haven't had any time to get going together. As soon as these guys gel, they're going to destroy teams like Buffalo. And I'm not talking about the Canucks. Don't get me wrong, folks. I'm not fanboying here and saying, oh, the Canucks are going to destroy Buffalo, because evidently, no, they're not. But with the lotto line can win that matchup against any line on Buffalo. When the lotto line is performing how we know they can perform, like we know they all have it in them, how we know they can perform. And if you have Quinn Hughes there as well.
Well, I think that's what Rathbone did such a good job, was being a fourth guy with the lotto line. Because I think that's what the lotto line really depends on, is having the defenseman who is like the fourth guy on that line.
Yeah, someone who can contribute.
And all the pairings, if you get them back to what we saw for the first three games, have one of those guys.
Yeah.
Whether if it's Quinn Hughes on the top pairing, kind of with the second pairing, either or. Like, Myers and OEL can both contribute. And then Jack Rathbone proved tonight, on Tuesday night here, that he can also do that. Like, he was... Jack Rathbone, to me, was the only player who stuck out really in a positive manner here on Tuesday night. Like, he broke his stick a couple times. That was unfortunate. You don't want that Edler curse to come over you, the old broken stick guy. You don't want to be that guy. But aside from that, he had a couple of really good rushes, couple of scoring chances. There was the one shift where he streaked in on the second power play unit, made a move, almost got the forehand on it, and then right after sets up Höglander for that quick little shot across the ice. Höglander had to hesitate just a little bit to gather the puck and didn't get a one-timer off, but Rathbone was creating tonight. And not only creating on a couple little shifts like that, but we talk so much about, and this is something you've talked about a lot, but the risk and reward, there's so much more reward there for watching Jack Rathbone skate the puck up ice himself and just gain the offensive zone.
And dangle through like four guys.
And he's going to lose, he loses the puck. He does look like a rookie, right? Like, he does, we're not saying he's like this immediate star. He really looks like a rookie at times. When he loses the puck on, after but he gains the, the thing to me is he loses the puck, but he gains the blue line at least. Like, he at least gains the blue line, or at least skates it out of his own blue line and just forces a reset from the other team. But he still just forces that. Like, he forces that. And yeah, he loses the puck a decent amount, but he's still creating more than anyone. We were saying a couple times, like, some of the moves that he was doing towards the net are things that we see from Quinn Hughes on occasion. But I would almost say that Rathbone can drive to the net better than any defenseman on this team, I feel like, at times. Like, when he gets his move off, him and Quinn Hughes are the only two that can really pull that off.
Yeah.
Tyler Myers at times. I know you're about to say Tyler Myers sometimes.
Tyler Myers once in a while.
Yeah, every once in a while, I'll give Tyler Myers that. He does get to the net a few times here and there.
Yeah, absolutely. I've said it for a long time that I think Rathbone is a very, very good defenseman, and if there's anybody that's coming out of the lineup, Rathbone is the one guy that I would look at. Like, he was their best defenseman tonight. And OEL's looked fine, don't get me wrong. OEL's looked good, actually.
There was one play that I brought up with you where you just watched the way that OEL timed his shot. Did it in such a good way where it was the perfect screen.
Yes. He's a smart defenseman on both ends.
The shot off right when the four guys that were around the net were all in the line with the goaltender. And I saw that play from the angle that it was, and I was like, wow, he waited and waited and waited. And then when kind of everyone came into that zone where they covered Craig Anderson's eyes, that's when the shot came. I mean, the more and more you watch of OEL, the more you have to, the deal's long and it's huge and the trade was crazy. Everything was madness in the offseason. But now that we're seeing him on the ice, this is why I think a lot of what we talked about in the offseason was not wanting to form a judgment just yet on it. Like, we all wanted to see OEL, except for the people that were just, you know, you see them, you see some of these people that just automatically saw the Jay Fresh card. It was over. It was over. There was no chance he was going to be a defenseman. He's going to be a bottom of the barrel, one of the worst in the league, you know, and then you see Jay Fresh cards on, or do I keep ripping on Jay Fresh, but you know,
Jay
these
Fresh
cards,
is a good guy.
Okay, whatever. You see all these cards that I'm talking about, that people are like, Quinn Hughes is one of the bottom 10 defensemen in the league, according to this chart. What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Exactly. It is a little rich when people
these charts
like
and I don't know where these analytics are coming from, but whatever, man. This is why you got to watch the games too.
That's,
you
know, true.
And with me, that's the thing with OEL. It's like we needed to watch him play some games, and he does a lot of smart things. He's going to look really bad a few times here this year. That's going to happen. You know, that's going to happen eventually here, but so far, not a lot of bad things to say about him. And you know what? I'd like OEL's. I think he's going to be fun. I think he's going to like Vancouver. Like, he seems like he's got a personality too.
Yeah, and he dealt with the media well. Like, when he got asked about the bag skate, he handled it perfectly, right? Like, this is a guy that I think is going to fit in really nicely in Vancouver. I do. You know, and in terms of toward the end of that contract, yeah, I don't want to beat a dead horse. It might suck. But again, like Alex Edler, he's a defenseman who is so smart at both ends of the ice that you're going to see him reinvent himself. Like, OEL is going to be fine for at least the next 4 years. Won't be an issue.
Have you ever seen OEL's Twitter bot or Instagram bio?
No, what is it?
Official account of Oliver Ekman Larson. Started my own clothing brand so I could become an underwear model.
No.
This is the real OEL account.
That is amazing.
And he's got a Swedish flag at the end.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I just threw, you got a request to follow OEL too.
Wow.
But he's got 58,000 people on there. He's just probably accepting everyone.
He probably accepts people.
Yeah. Maybe not me. He might have seen my Twitter video.
Go ahead and toss him a follow, see what happens.
I just did. He maybe, I don't know, hopefully he didn't see the video.
Oh man, that was funny. We do have another defenseman to talk about in Travis Hamonic.
Hey man, you know what? I'm going to just say my piece and then you take it from here. Okay. And maybe we got to cut some of this. We'll see what I say here. But to me, the story is very hard to follow for myself, okay? As someone who's supposed to be in on this story and, you know, with what we do with our job, with what we do with our, you know, our blogging, our podcasting, this story is just too hard for me to follow in the end, okay? I don't know anything what's going on with Travis Hamonic, and nothing that the Canucks are saying are giving me any information. None of the stuff that I'm hearing with rumblings and people who know things that chat about stuff that I believe, I'm not hearing anything about this, okay? I don't know anything about Travis Hamonic's situation. And I hope that if it's something to do with him and his family, I hope that he can figure it all out. But there's a lot of rumors out there. I don't believe all of them, some of them seem to be very different from what the Canucks are saying publicly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I say all that? You're not going to cut any of that?
You can say all that.
You take it from here, because I don't want to talk about this anymore, because I don't know what the hell's going on.
The thing that we need to talk about is not so much about what's keeping him away. Like, it is a personal matter, and the club, as Thomas Drance was pointing out on the intermission show today, the club isn't moving toward like a termination of contract. Like, this isn't like a bitter, you know, suspension without pay. For technical terms, that's what it's called on Cap Friendly, but they've come to an agreement. Like, they're just buying more time for Travis Hamonic to figure out his situation, right? And, you know, whatever it is, it does not matter anymore. Like, whatever it is, you know, of course it matters. I'm not trying to say it's like it's a nothing thing. Like, of course, whatever's going on matters. But I'm saying, for our purposes, the thing that matters right now is the Vancouver Canucks salary cap. Like, that's what this has implications on, right? Like, nothing's changed in the Hamonic situation is basically what I'm trying to say in terms of like his personal matters. So there's nothing new to report there. He needs privacy. Just respect the dude's privacy. No problem with that. But this does have implications on the Canucks cap. They don't have to pay him anymore with the agreement that they've come to.
Okay. So that's what I know.
That's what all you know. That's what we know. And all we can report on and talk about is what we know.
I just want, you know, I wonder when we're gonna know what the final outcome of this season is. We're four games into the regular season. I don't think there has to be a rush on him. I think that, you know, if it is a personal matter he's trying to handle, it'd be great to have Travis Hamonic come and join the Vancouver Canucks and boost this defense core on the right side. Maybe play with Jack Rathbone. So I hope he can get whatever he's dealing with. And there's a lot of rumors out there. whatever he's dealing with, I hope he can figure it out and get on the other side of it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we want to see.
Yes.
I have written on the outline. I wrote the outline tonight, folks. Big day for me.
First time you can put it up on the board there.
Put it up on the wall of outlines. I have written on there what's going on at Canucks Army. Wednesday morning, two Stéphane Roger articles.
What the hell? Who's this guy think he is?
Yeah, well, hey, I texted him. I said, hey, man, Faber's not able to get me an article. And he said, oh, I'll come through. I'm just kidding. I didn't say that.
Well,
he
was getting these anyway. I do got a tough week this week. You know it's, I got a tough week.
Yeah, exactly. Which is I've already why I'm not hit my, it against you.
My article count for the month, though. I'm already hit go. It. What's the date today?
It is the 19th.
The 19th.
Yeah.
So I've hit my article count for the... So I've hit 25 articles. It's the 19th today.
So are you just done writing for the rest of the month?
No. I'm going to bank some for next month, and then maybe I'll just take all of, like... If I just keep doing this for, like, 3 months, February...
You know I'm going to have to put a stop to that as editor-in-chief,
you
right?
Won't see me in February. I'll be a daily hive again.
Yeah, that's not how this is going to work, just so you know.
Pay me. I don't have to write articles.
We'll talk about this off.
Basically salary if I write enough articles in 8 months of the year, I just take 4 months off. I just have to write 40 articles every month for 8 months.
We're definitely going to have to talk about this off air.
I've already talked. I went over your head. I talked to the big boss about this.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they appreciated this.
I did.
This.
He did approve this. He said you can bank him for next month.
No way.
Yeah, he did.
All right. I'm going to have to
talk. He told me your guys' Nation Network pride and joy over there, Jason Greger. He does the same thing.
I'm going to have to.
He banks him for months ahead.
I'm going to have a conversation with the big bosses.
Wow. Then. Well, I'm going to go over your head before you get a chance to.
The quad fathers.
I already did.
To come in.
I've already figured this all out. You don't need to come in here and change nothing. I got a good little thing going on here.
Also, I do want to announce Lachlan Irvine joining us as a regular contributor. Contributing about 15 articles a
Thank
month.
Goodness.
15 to 20. I'm very excited to have Lachlan on.
I appreciate that. What am I writing? 45 a month right now.
No, you're like 27 a month. Also, I got
27. It's 19.
I
today.
Do like 40 a month. So
yeah,
but I do
yours
great.
Are
yeah. I rate mine in 10 minutes.
14 minutes or 14 words long. The Canucks have a game today. I went to the practice. The silly pod Colson's big. The game day report. David Quadrelli.
Hey, the game day reports are doing really well.
Oh no, people, I'm just yeah. You know like I'm those. Busting you with the game day reports are actually really cool.
Sweet.
I think your little storyline there as you kind of build it throughout the season and you know find some with it. I think that's going to be your little bread and butter.
Thanks, man. I'm actually appreciating
I'm wearing the PP1 hat right now, but I've completely forgotten about Ryan Hanks' daily game day's post. No, I'm just kidding.
Ryan Hanks, a good guy. 9 years guy. On the job. We were joking around.
And
Ryan
I'm rocking that. You know, I rocked the hat today to BCIT. A couple of people asked about it. Maybe Ryan will get a new listener or two from it.
Ryan Hanks started that job when I was 12 or 13.
Couldn't even spell Canucks Army at the time.
Of course I could. I actually,
you could, but you couldn't do long division.
I couldn't do long division, but I was like a spelling bee champ. Actually,
were you? Did you ever
when
get
I was
into
in like grade five? I never went to the national one, but I was really good at like all the spelling tests.
Is a national? What'd you get to? Anything?
No, just okay, spelling so tests. Just,
why'd you go straight to national? You didn't get to provincial. You didn't get to.
Well, yeah, because what is there? Isn't that just it? There's no provincial.
Yeah, there's like districts, and then there's regionals.
I did that for public speaking.
So
I got I got high in public speaking.
That sounds okay. like me in high school.
Yeah, Nanaimo. Oh my gosh. This is a family show. Kids, stay in school, do your public speaking, do your long division so you don't end up like us. You'll be good.
Just stay high in your public speaking.
Stay high in your public speaking.
All right, am I getting to your prospects, Poirier?
Go for it. Get into prospects, but I just wanted to add, I'm very good at spelling. Say any word, I'll spell it right now. Any word.
Curriculum.
C-U-R-R-I-C-U-L-U-M. Curriculum. There might be two L's in there. You might have to check that.
That's actually
that.
Like, well, honestly, off the top of my head, pretty good little word there to try and spell. I would have no idea
how
to spell
that. That was tough. Okay, spell rhythm. That's one that gets a lot of people.
R-H-Y.
Wait, I'm checking if curriculum. Oh, I spelled curriculum
H-M-E,
right.
H-M-E, rhythm.
Sorry, can you please spell it again?
Damn it, no, probably not. I think I nailed it there. R H Y T H M E.
Okay, rhythm. You didn't say the E the first time, so I'll give it to you.
No, yeah, I did.
Oh, well, the E is wrong.
Oh.
I was going to give it to you because I thought you didn't say
man,
the E.
No, I know there's no E on the end there. What am I thinking?
Rhythm E.
I know, but I didn't draw it out. That's what I should have done with my finger, and I got to draw it out.
Yeah,
no, I probably wouldn't have got it anyways. Okay. I definitely wouldn't have spelled curriculum.
That's right. Like how I, even to this day, when I'm doing like addition, I could have used my fingers, man.
I sometimes have to, you know, I message you all the time about stupid little words.
Mm-hmm. I answer those pretty quick.
You know what? Here's a good one for you. This is my biggest struggle word. Diarrhea.
Spell it?
I can. D-I-A. I have no idea how to spell diarrhea.
Okay. D-I-A-R-R-H-E-A. Diarrhea.
Right, yeah, that sounds right. Sometimes I'm not even close. Like, I'll see it and I'll type it out. 5 or 6 different spellings, and it's just not it. And then I have to Google it, and then I Google it, and it's like, we don't know what you're trying to spell. You're so far off. Okay, I don't know.
You got
to
text me and figure it
out. Yeah. So I say, what's the word for that? No, I'm not going to go there.
Man.
All right. Prospects report.
What's the word for after you eat a bacon king?
Okay, man. Well, everybody knows you had one of those for lunch, Quads. You'll need to share that on the show.
Well, I didn't finish it, thankfully. I got close, though. I was really close. But you know what? There was a moment when we got out of the car and walked into Value Village. I was like, whoa. Like, dude, I need a minute. Like, I was like, I'm heavy. Also, I forgot how much fun podcasting is, because we probably shouldn't have conversations like this on the radio.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Random persons on the dial, they just hear this. Yeah, I got high in public speaking in grade 7.
Now, spell diarrhea. All right. I spoke with Lucas Forsell. Man, I tell you, you heard the conversation. I did it at your place
nice
the other day when we were hanging out. But could you hear it in his voice when we were asking about that J20 team?
Yeah.
It was
a cry
tough.
For help.
It was. Balancing time between the SHL and the J20 was tough for him. You know, even when we talked to him there on the phone, he was saying that, you know, he went to practice with the SHL team in the morning. He went to practice with the J20 team at night. He went out for dinner with the SHL team, you know, at later after the practice. Guy's busy. And he was saying, like, he's starting to feel like, you know, school's a tough thing for him because he's basically a pro, right? Like, he basically is a pro. He's playing a lot of games. One of the quotes that I got from him kind of talking about that was, he said, it's hard to plan. Sometimes the SHL team has practice, but the junior team has practice. And then I just want to be with the SHL team as much as I can, but it's sometimes hard to do both. It's even hard for me to plan my dinners or lunches and all that stuff. Oh, but it's planning for hockey, so it's all so much fun. And for people who don't know, Lucas Forsell, excellent English.
Really good.
A couple words that he was putting in there, like, very good. And
ones that we couldn't even spell.
You probably could.
I probably could.
There was a couple there's a couple I missed out on. And then what he said about becoming a pro, he said, it feels like I have a great chance to turn pro after this season. This is the important part here. My junior contract expires after this year. So he has no commitment or connection to any team after this year. He can freely sign in the SHL. So there's going to be an SHL team out there next season that's going to want to take a risk on a kid who's already got, you know, a dozen, maybe 20 games in the SHL under his belt, as a guy who's going to be 18 when he signs his contract next summer. He has a really good chance to, like, pick his spot where he's going to play a role that is going to be beneficial for him to develop and make the world junior team next year. With that option of his contract coming off after this year, he's going to be able to choose his spot and set up a good position. And that's something we talked about later in the interview, was like, his big goal is to be playing on the world junior team next year. Because this year I asked somebody, said nobody's called him. He hasn't heard from Sweden. Nobody from Sweden's given him a shout, even though, like, he's probably just off the radar a little bit for this year. But next year he should be a guy pushing for it. He should be a guy pushing for a spot to bring a little bit of offense. And that's what I like about next year, is he's going to be the one making the decision. I know his family's tight. They're also very involved in hockey. His dad's a big time businessman. Got an office in Vancouver, actually. So he's going to make a decision next year that's really going to help him. And this year is tough, right? This is what he said about the J20 team. It's really tough, actually. You think about the losses all the time. As a hockey player, you want to win every game, and right now we're almost losing every game. It's been really tough. It damages your self-confidence as well. It's going tough for us. It's really tough, but we're trying. We still practice very hard. You saw how many times he said tough in there, man. Like, I feel for the kid, because that team is just so bad. I've said it on this show so many times that team is horrible, and it is starting to wear on the kid. So I hope he gets up to the SHL as much as possible, able to get into some games. He said he's kind of right on the bubble right now of being the 13th, 14th, 15th forward, depending on how many guys are injured. But he's learning a lot. He's learning from some great guys. He talked to Chris Higgins last week about a couple things. You know what Higgins told him?
What?
Well, you were on the call. Well, you were beside me when I did the call. Just said, like, get in the gym. Because that's, of course, what Chris Higgins says. Get your ab workouts going.
I love it.
So, I mean, he is still in contact with the Canucks, which is good. The funny thing was, I was like, have you talked to anyone from the Vancouver Canucks last little bit? He's like, yeah, I talked to Chris Johnson.
No, he said Ryan Higgins.
No, he said both. He said Ryan Higgins and Chris Johnson. Yeah. I was like, Chris Higgins and Ryan Johnson? He's like, oh, yes. I was like, that.
Good kid. Yeah. Good kid. It was even fun to listen to that interview. And yeah, that story will be coming on Canucks Army Thursday morning.
No, we'll see when I get to that.
All right.
I already got my articles banked, buddy. I'm taking a couple weeks off. I'll get some stuff. It will be out here soon on Canucks Army for sure.
Fantastic. I'm looking forward to
it. What else we got here? Is that it? Prospects report?
That's it. That's all we got. I did want to mention. It was very funny.
I can't wait to go to sleep so bad.
Yeah. You got to my house today.
Yeah.
And I immediately went to the gym.
Yeah, you did. But you went for like maybe 25 minutes.
Yeah, I'm going to go back tonight.
You come back and you're like, my arms are shaking.
Yeah, I was so tired. I upped all my weight though. On my workouts, which is good. Curling 30s now.
Nice. That's what I've been curling. That's why I just picked them up.
You can curl way more than 30. If I can curl 30, you
can
curl.
Oh, no, I know. I'm just saying, like, that's what I have at my house. And I just started picking them up and repping them.
Nice. Fun.
My arms, I tell you. I might not have the best body, but my arms, they don't take long to get big again.
Your arms are bigger than mine.
Yeah. Well, when I heard about your bench number today, I'll tell you what.
Look, man.
I'm
half your weight.
Everybody on Twitter, everyone on the group chats, they're all saying, "Oh, Dave's getting all big and jacked." And then I hear what you're benching. Whew.
That's not bad. How is that bad?
Because it's not good.
It's pretty. It's not bad.
You're currently being outbenched by 18-year-old kids at the NHL Combine.
Yeah, who are like super athletes.
Yeah, but you'd show up, you'd be Sam Bennett.
I was 115 pounds in March 2020.
Yeah, I know. It's good. No, I'm happy for you.
I could hardly do the bar if I'm being
100% honest, when you told me the number.
But that was... Okay, now I'm going to the gym. You're coming with me. I'm going to do a max rep so that I can tell you my actual
I wouldn't
number.
Mind. I got to test mine too, actually.
I was telling you my number that I do like 4 reps on.
Yeah.
Or 4 sets, and I do like 10 or 12 reps. So I need my max number, which I haven't tried to do
yet.
Call
BS on that from the number you said.
You're coming with me.
Let me get in there, too. Let's see what I can do.
Patreon content. Yeah, Patreon content. The bench. Favoring quads work. Yeah. I wonder who's going to win the bench competition.
Well, hey, when's the last time I benched? 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
Percentage of body weight. That's how we figure it out. Because I can bench my body weight. I can bench over my body weight.
Okay, well, I can't bench my body weight. Are you kidding me?
Well, that's how you determine it. That's what's good or bad about benching.
I used to be able to bench my body weight. I know. Back when I was in shape. Mm. Back before the pandemic hit. Mm. People got the pandemic 15. I got the pandemic 50.
Damn.
The way she goes.
How much have I put on since the pandemic? Well, I was trying very hard to put it on.
Yeah.
I put 45
You wait till I get to that month. Sometime here.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit that month. I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to be in the gym every day.
Hell yeah. I'm looking forward to it, man.
Me too.
It's gonna be fun.
Well, I'm not looking forward to it.
It's fun. It's fun to work out, man. It's fun to
get back in there. No, it's true. Once you get into the groove, it is a good feeling.
Yeah, it's great.
I just can't find the time right now, man. It's crazy. Yeah. Like, these last few days, especially now with this BCIT 6, I'm up doing the freaking news at 7. I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about this morning? Mm. Kourtney Kardashian getting married to Travis Barker. Mm, what the hell do I know about these people? At the end of it, I'm saying, and then what else am I talking about? I'm talking about Kanye West legally changing his name to Ye. What am I learning here?
Oh man.
Anyways.
Tough one.
And you know what, cool little story, these otters over here. You heard about these otters over on the island?
No.
Down by Tilikum Mall in Saanich. So they got these fish traps. These salmon, they come upstream, they come up in these fish traps. They can't get through it. And this is where the researchers come and they check them, they tag them or whatever, then they pick them out of the trap and they send them on their way. These little otters. They're sending in, these otters are having babies, so they're all these little babies, and then they're sending these little baby otters into the traps because they can fit through the bars. Like, the big otters can't, but they're having babies, like, their babies can fit through, so the otter moms are freaking sending babies in, and they're ripping these salmon apart because they're all sitting in this trap at this river spot where they normally do research on. They're ripping these poor salmon apart down in the Tilikum Mall, and then the little babies are bringing, like, these carcasses to the bars, and the mama otters are pulling the whole otters out, and they've got all these salmon bodies on the side of the river there, and like, they can't do it. People can't, like, go and kill the otters, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
So they're just, like, they grab them, they put them in a net, they take them off to the side, and they put them away, and then the otters just keep coming back. So they had to get rid of this whole little trap thing that they had for the fish.
Yeah.
There's now the fish are sending them on their way now.
Good for the fish.
How many eggs do you think a salmon has every year during spawning?
I used to know this. It was in the curriculum for some reason. Yeah. The BC curriculum was knowing how many salmon there are.
That's pretty BC, yeah.
Yeah, I remember. We used to release salmon every year into a little creek. That was fun. Okay, how many eggs?
Take a shot.
It's over 50.
I'll say higher or lower twice.
Okay.
And you have to guess the number.
Okay, don't. I know it's over 50. 500.
Higher.
1,000.
Higher.
5,000.
Lower. Guess the number.
2,500.
No, I thought you were going to hit it. You could have hit it. It was 3,000. You were right in the middle there.
Okay, well, sometimes there's got to be 2,500. It's not 3,000 every time.
Every single time.
No way.
Every single time, 3,000 exact eggs. That's how many you're costing with these baby otters. They sneak in sideways. They go in there sideways and they pull out the salmons.
The salmon.
Salmons.
No, I think the plural of salmon is just salmon.
Why is... Okay, I don't want to get into this too deep because I got to go home and go to sleep.
Yeah.
Screw the whole English language with all this plurals on things.
Yep.
Moose.
Yeah, fair enough.
Mooses? Meese?
Meese.
That's not what it is. It's just moose.
No, it's meese.
No, it's not.
Yeah, but you rarely talk about more than one moose.
Yeah, but when you do, you call it moose.
No.
Yeah, a herd of moose.
Yeah, a herd of moose if you say it like that.
If I say, look over there.
Okay.
Two moose.
Two moose. I mean,
you don't say.
I'm
meese.
Not going to call you.
I'm right here.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think meese is what you're supposed to say, but I'm not going to call
no
you.
No way.
On it. Yeah. I don't think it's very common, but I'm pretty sure it is.
No way. Look it up. I'm right here. I am the master of English now. All of a sudden, here on this show, the plural of moose is moose. Come on.
You're right. It's moose.
Boom. Shut it down. Call it a show. I'm done.
Some people.
I'm going to draw the mic.
Some people add an S to moose, and it is incorrect. Which you did earlier.
You changed it to mice, and that's a completely different animal. So,
right.
Mic drop. See you later. Have a good one. Good show.
Wait.
I'm going to sleep.
Meese is accepted as well. Yep.
In what language, though?
Nope. It's just incorrect.
Yep.
You're right. You take this one.
Have a good one.
Big win for Chris on this episode.
English major.
Of Canucks Conversation. My name is Dave Quadrelli.
New editor of Canucks Army, Chris Faber.
I am absolutely ashamed of myself and for my co-host, Chris Faber, who is now an English master, and I'm going to start just sending out your articles as they come in. I'm not going to edit them, and people get to see what an English master you are.
What kind of job are you doing over there as an editor then?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. For Chris Faber, my name is David Quadrelli. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Canucks Conversation.
Thanks for listening to Canucks Conversation, delivered by DoorDash. Hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
How about keep it to a thank you, Jim?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.